God made provision to prevent disease and sicknesses. In the scriptures, there are four generalizations now of instructions that if we follow them, these diseases won't happen to us. This is why everyone needs to get connected with God. You will follow His disease prevention instructions, and best of all, you'll be in a relationship with Him whereby God works in you to destroy every power of the enemy. But today we want to talk about virus survival according to the Bible. So let's take a look at a couple of things first. Number one, the scriptures call viruses by different names. In fact, you know some of them. The bubonic plague, you know about the black plague by which one-third of the population of Europe was wiped out. We all know about Ebola, for which there still is no cure, but is predominantly in Africa. But the current one is what we call coronavirus, and this is, but they have different names. Now, in the Bible, you won't find these names. But what you will find in the Bible is the word pestilence. And by definition, a pestilence is a deadly and overwhelming disease that affects entire communities. Pestilence. Deadly and overwhelming diseases that affect entire communities. Another definition, it's an infectious, fatal disease or an evil influence that is widespread. An organism that causes a plague. And that brings us to the second Bible word that covers the idea of viruses, and that is the word plague. And that is a contagious bacterial or viral disease characterized by fever, delirium, and often infection of lungs, as in the pneumonic plague. So we have these two terms, and these are Bible terms, plague and pestilence. Now, the scriptures indicate that there will be an increase in viruses. This is not something new. It is going to increase. Now watch the scripture. For in reference to the last days, the scripture comes and Jesus said it. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Does that seem familiar to the evening news? See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now watch this. For nation shall rise against nation. Is that familiar to the news? Kingdom against kingdom. Now watch this. And there shall be famines and pestilences, plural, and earthquakes and in divers places. Now, we'll take another look at the monitor. There shall be pestilences. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. So, the scriptures predict an increase. In the last days, there will be, look back here again, there shall be, among all these other things, wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. Never in such a time has there been such international rivalry, but there shall be famines, and there shall be pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, but this is the beginning of sorrows. Now, the increase, watch this now, because I want to turn now to the book of Revelation just briefly. Here's the word plague. Therefore shall her plagues, now this is returning This is referring, rather, to the fall of Mystery Babylon. Therefore shall her plagues, now watch this, they shall come in one day, one day. And what will come with it? There will be death, and there will be mourning, and famine. And then she shall utterly be burned with fire. Now, you know that this is not the plague we're talking about, because the fire hasn't happened. But this is the biggest one that's yet to come. Her plagues will come in a single day, and death will be widespread, and there'll be mourning and famine. So there's going to be an increase in viruses. Now, the scriptures prescribe various preventions for viruses, for plagues, for pestilence. So let's take a look at this promise of scripture. If, now this is a really big, small word, isn't it? If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And number two, if you will do what is right, look at this now, in his sight. So the problem is today, most people are doing what's right in their sight of their own eyes, right? But if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, and will do that which is right in his sight. And number three, if you will give ear to his instructions, his commandments, and all his statutes. Now watch. I will put none of these diseases upon you. None of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. Why did the Egyptians get it? Because, if you go back, you will learn it exactly right. Here we go. Because they wouldn't listen to the voice of the Lord. They wouldn't do that which was right in his sight. Look at this. They wouldn't give ear to his commandments and all his statutes. And so what happened is the consequences come upon them. But if you will do these four things, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. So the scriptures by, now watch here, let's go back again and just check a couple of these verses. Here we go. If we'll listen to the voice of God and we'll do what is right in his sight, number two, right? If we will give ear to his instructions, his commandments, and we'll keep the statutes, then none of these diseases will come upon you. So this is crucial that we understand that in the scriptures there are four generalizations now of instructions that if we follow them, these diseases won't happen to us. Is that good news or what? So now we want to shift our subject slightly to, let me just give you another translation of this before we move on. This is the place where God set up rules and procedures. Now, you need to understand, when God sets up a rule or a procedure, it isn't to interfere with your happiness or your joy. It's, in fact, to assure that you do have happiness and joy. See? And so that's where he started testing them. And God said, if you listen obediently to what God tells you how to live in his presence, if you obey his commands and keep all his laws, then I won't strike you with all the diseases that I inflicted upon the Egyptians, because I am God, your healer. He has wonderful intentions on keeping you healthy, whole, and healed. So now we want to talk about what are the biblical disease preventions. Here we go. Number one, avoid contact. The first rule, avoid contact with the diseases. Now, let's take a look. There's a lot of scriptures about this, by the way. In fact, one scripture says, don't touch anything in their tents. Lest their sins come upon you. The results of their sins come upon you. Don't even touch. Don't touch their stuff. It's contaminated. Yeah? So there are things we should not touch. Let's take a look at the scripture from Lamentations. Now, they have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood. Now watch this. The pollution was so great that men could not touch their clothes, could not touch their garments, because touching their garments would have caused pollution, disease, disorder, plague, pestilence. Okay? They cried unto them. Now watch this. This is the avoid contact idea. Depart. Depart ye, it is unclean. Depart. Depart. Touch not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, I'm not going with them anymore. They avoided contact. Now, watch this New Testament scripture. For the Lord says, come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. And look at this. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch the unclean thing. And this has, by the way, this has moral implications. This has biological implications. This has physical implications. Touch not the unclean thing, and it'll be okay, because I will receive you, and I'll be your father. And what is a father but somebody who watches out for the children? And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. First principle of prevention of virus is no contact. Avoid contact. Number two, quarantine is a biblical idea. Quarantine simply means the isolation of those that are sick. Now, there's a lot of details in this chapter, and we haven't the time to go line by line. I'm going to let you do that, though. But, and this is a case of, in this particular disease of leprosy. Because when a man has, in the skin of his flesh, a bump arising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy, like it. Then he shall be brought unto Aaron, the priest, or unto one of his sons, the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague. It's going to be inspected in the skin of the flesh. And look at this. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is the plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Contagious. Right? Watch this now. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he's defiled. Okay? Because he's got this disorder, disease. He shall be termed unclean because of this virus or whatever it is. And he shall dwell alone. Isolation of the sick. Quarantine. He shall dwell alone without the camp shall be his habitation. He shall not be able to mingle. In fact, in Jesus' day, when the lepers came, they were by law required to shout out loud and warn everybody that they were walking because they were unclean, unclean, unclean. So God, and by the way, I didn't take the time to put it on the screen for you, But the amazing catch-up of science is stunning. You'll see some of that in a moment. But these ideas were biblical ideas. They're not new scientific ideas. They have always been there because God made provision to prevent disease and sicknesses. So quarantine is another one of God's ideas. And then sanitation is another disease prevention. Now, remember, they didn't have flushing toilets and stuff in those days, right? And so there was the vicinity, the campgrounds where everybody lived. But sanitation became important in order to have disease prevention. So you shall have a place. You need to have a place. And now watch this. It needs to be outside the campgrounds. And when you have to do your toiletry, that's where you need to go. Watch this now. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. In other words, a shovel attached to your sword or attached to your weapon. And it shall be that when thou shalt ease thyself abroad, using the toilet idea here, easing thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. That which it needs to be out. Sanitation is getting rid of excrement. It is getting rid of disease-carrying potential matter. So sanitation was a biblical idea that also prevents. So what that mean? It means you need to use your bathrooms appropriately and make sure they are sanitized, because sanitization is one of God's strategies of disease prevention. And then God comes along and he insists on hygiene. And what is that? Hygiene is practicing cleanliness in order to maintain health and prevent disease. Hygiene. Practicing cleanliness in order to maintain health and prevent disease. Now, the scriptures actually enumerate a number of the areas. And it refers, for example, to the cleansing of the hands. You know that was in the 18th century, 17th century, that science discovered that medical professionals who were dealing with the dead people, and then they went to the operating room, the death tape, what was happening? They were carrying contamination. And so eventually scientists caught up 3,200 years after the fact that washing and scrubbing is a major part of proper medical procedure today. It came from the scriptures. It's kind of interesting because, had we time to go into the details, it had to be running water. Not just any water would do. It had to be running water, implying it had to be clean, clear, running water, not contaminated. Not just any water would do. So I had to do with the cleansing of the hands. The scriptures talk about having the cleansing of the genital areas of both male and female body. In fact, the scriptures talk about the cleansing of our clothes. And you'll notice that all these things are like in close, tight, next to us. And in fact, the cleansing of our living environment. These are all listed in Scripture in this chapter I'm going to point you to in a moment. Hygiene. After sanitation, hygiene, vitally important. So, let's go into a bit of detail. By the way, this is in Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19. The whole chapter, I mean, multiple verses, one after the other, have to do with this. Specifically, it refers to hygiene after you have been working at whatever you work at. So here's a guy that's been riding in the saddle, and he has the issue, and he is in an unclean condition, and whoever touches anything that was under him shall also be unclean until the even. And so what is he to do? And he that beareth any of those things shall, look at this now, wash his clothes after work. Watch this now. Number two, bathe himself in water. And it implies here that a drying time after that is necessary, because it takes time to for this cleansing until the evening, until it's really complete. The clothes are washed, and he has washed himself in water. Another one is after exposure, after touching anything that's dead. Now, in this case, it's referring actually to a heifer. And the elders of that city, and this is to a slain man, look at this, shall wash his hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. In other words, in fact, I referred to only moments ago, that from anything that is dead, cleansing needs to take place. Hygiene is highly important to disease prevention, and particularly that which is contagious, because it travels. It is moving from one thing to another. So don't touch it. Don't touch it. Quarantine, if necessary, the sick person, and have sanitation procedures in place, and then exercise proper hygiene, and especially after work, that if you work and now it's time for lunch, wash up, have lunch, go back to work. And so after all working activities, cleansing needs to take place, no matter what the nature of your work is, because in work you just have to touch, see? Okay. And then, of course, if something is dead, anything that is dead, that includes animals, that includes insects, that includes flies, mosquitoes, bees, bugs, scorpions, you name it. And in fact, what's this? In fact, what's this? Well, maybe it's coming up later. Because the fact is that the scriptures require you not only to cleanse yourself after getting rid of the cockroach, but we have to clean the area where the cockroach, where you stepped on him. Okay, we'll come to that. Now, another disease prevention has to do with avoiding certain foods. And fortunately for us in our culture, most of us have got this already straight. These shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep on the earth. Don't eat anything that creeps, including the weasel. Don't eat mice or the tortoise or the ferret or the chameleon and the lizard, the snail and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Now watch this. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall also be unclean until they've done something about it, right? So avoid certain foods, and even if they're dead, dead cockroaches, etc., even though they're dead, they are unclean. Now, here's the point I was trying to get to. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean. Ha! So you killed the cockroach on the countertop, right? You not only got to get rid of the cockroach, but you got to clean the countertop. Watch this now. Upon whatsoever any of those preceding things, when they are dead and they fall, it shall be unclean. And whether it falls on a piece of furniture that's made of wood, or whether it falls on clothing, or whether it's on your skin, or on a sack, whatever vessel it be wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even, so it shall be cleansed. So we need to clean areas of dead animals and insects. Not just get rid of the insects, but clean the area. Why? Because this is one of God's measures of disease prevention. Number 9. Avoid all immorality. Flee fornication. Now watch this now. Because the spreading of disease is happening in mass around the world because of immorality and multiple sexual relationships of all kinds of and diverse natures, of which most of them are some of them are even unspeakable. Venereal diseases, HIV, AIDS. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Now watch what the scripture does here. Flee fornication. The word fornication is porneo. It's a broad term that covers every kind of sexual deviation you can think of. And if I were you, I wouldn't think about them, okay? It covers the whole gamut, so to speak. Now, here's why. This is a medical issue as well as a moral issue. Watch here now. Every sin and fornication, see, God designed one man, one woman for life. That's the idea, right? Every sin that a man does is outside. That is, it does not affect his body. But he that committeth fornication is sinning, look at this now, against his own body. The exchange of fluids, the body chemistries, the multiple relationships is a spread of disease. We still have not got cure after all these years and all of the science. We have promises from our government that within the next 9 years we'll have a cure for AIDS and HIV. We haven't got it. And let me tell you something. When God warns about an issue, that there are consequences attached to it, there will be consequences attached to it. And even if we conquer and find a medical solution to the HIV/AIDS issue, there'll be another one after that. Because God, remember, the safety comes from those who listen to the instructions, who get what God says about something. Huh? And so, my goodness, look at the trouble we're in internationally because of immorality. It is a system, a contagion of virus and biological and disease-carrying phenomena. Watch out. It's one of the Bible tips about disease prevention. Avoid all immorality. Now, had we time, we would go further into that same, the same portion of scripture right here. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? It's a temple, not a tavern. It's a temple, not a graffiti board. It's a temple, not a bar room. It's a temple. It's a sacred place. Don't you know that he that is joined to a harlot? The whole context here has not just... See, the moral issues and standards set by God are not set arbitrarily just to ruin a good time. The regulations are happy guidelines to do that on which will make you blessed. So, watch out. Get exercise. Now, in the King James Version, I have it inserted because it should have been in there. For bodily exercise profiteth a little. So it's doing comparison between God, physical exercise and exercise is godly. But godliness is profitable in all things. Let me give you a translation. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but an undisciplined life in God, a disciplined life in God, is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. So, get exercise. By the way, the question comes, should you ever consult a physician? The answer to that is also yes. I should probably put the scripture up there. Here's what Jesus said about that. He said, them that are whole need not a physician. But the same implication, the surface implication of this is if you're not whole, you need to consult somebody who might know more than you do. So this is not a put down of the medical profession necessarily. Okay? So get exercise. By the way, let me just revert back, if I might, to this whole hygiene cleanliness thing. John Wesley said this, cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, I have had some limited travel. I spent time walking the streets of many of the islands in the Caribbean, including Haiti and Port-au-Prince. Those were very sad places. Some of the homes were massive areas where each person's home was a matter of 10 feet by 10 feet square. That was it. A tin roof over top and a tin wall around the three sides of it. And sometimes the family that lived there would be 7 to 10 people sleeping there every night. That's what their homes were like. So while I was there, I made inquiry. I had people guide me down. I mean, we're talking streets. And to call a street was just really an unthinkable term. It's not a street. It's a... You'd have all these rows of tin houses here, and less than 15 feet wide to the next row of tin houses. So blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. And all that there was a ditch down the middle where people excreted. And the trick was to keep the water running in it to some level. Horrible. We in America have little idea of how much of the rest of the world lives. So while I was being escorted, I inquired, well, take me to some of the Christian homes. I wanted to see if there was a difference. And the difference was stunning. Yep, dirt floors everywhere. And if there's such a thing as a clean dirt, the Christian homes had clean dirt floors. Everything was clean. It was still a hovel. It was still just a shack. Still just had a tin roof. But there's something about following God that automatically creates cleanliness, hygiene, order, systematic, putting together, proper, organized, clean. Hygiene is so important. So get some exercise. And now we're going to move to a new dimension of biblical disease prevention. And this one, my point is simply that we need to exercise the spiritual authority that has been given to us. Now watch this. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Behold, I give unto you power." Now, I want you to know, watch this now. Spiritual power is greater than biological power. When we talk about the grace of God, it's not an attitude only. It is an attitude. He is gracious. But watch this. Let's talk about salvation. Grace is the unmerited impartation of God into a person's life, delivering them from sin. Let's talk about sanctification. Grace and sanctification is the unmerited energy of God in a person's life, making us more like his son, Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the grace of God in healing. The grace of God is the unmerited activity, the energy, and the power in us, delivering us from all sickness and all disease. It's about grace. And grace is the most powerful force in the whole universe. It's a God force. It's the power of God imparted. Not because we earned or merited or buddied or paid for it or got so many brownie points. It was freely given to us. That's why he says freely you receive, freely you give. So the grace of God comes with power. And when it comes to sickness and disease, the grace of God is the unmerited power of God, the energy of God, working in your body, destroying sickness and disease. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how does that get activated? So comes now the Master Jesus himself, and look what he says. Look at the scripture now. I am going to give you power. I am going to transfer power to you. Now watch this now. Watch it now. I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Look at this now. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Have you got that? When Jesus was here, of him it was said, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Some of these diseases, they were dealt with at a spiritual level. They were, people had demons cast out of them, and guess what? Their health returned. Aha. Uh-huh. And so that power, the right to use that power, has been given to you. So when you pray for your son or daughter, or when you pray for your spouse, or when you pray for your wife, or you pray for a friend, he's given you power to stop all those forces, whether they be pestilence and scorpions and serpents or plagues. You can stop it by the power of God. And the power of God has been offered to you by Jesus to exercise. So, disease prevention. You know, it's kind of a good thing to quote scriptures at the same time. You know, I know one that's common among us. It's this idea that nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I'm trying to think of the one that my wife quotes most of the time. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Okay. And what does that scripture go on to say? That you shall rise up with your voice and condemn it. You vocally exercise your authority over all the powers that come against you and that would hurt you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to bring you to the climax of biblical ideas and preventions of disease. And to me, this one is ultimate. It is to live a God-connected life. To live close to God, connected by prayer. Now, follow with me just for a moment. So here there was a lot of diseases when the Israelites were in the desert, right? In the wilderness. Excuse me. So here's what happened. God, under the instruction of Moses, did this. Moses made a serpent, a snake, out of brass. And he put it on a pole. Right? Watch now. Watch the intelligence monitor with me. He put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, that when he beheld the serpent of brass, whoa, look at this, the bite did not affect him, and he lived. Now watch this. Comes now the New Testament and compares this. Watch this now. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, look at that. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, watch this now. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Watch the monitor with me now. For who knows how many years, the serpent, the brass serpent on the pole, has been the symbol of the pharmaceutical industry. A drugstore. Drugs carry this symbol. It came from the instruction of God to Moses to make a brass serpent and put it on a pole. Now watch this. And whoever would look towards that serpent on the pole would be healed. Oh. So what happened? So, many pharmacies now have the cross. Remember the scripture. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh. So watch this now. Whoever was diseased, bitten, all they had to do was to look toward this brass serpent on the pole. and they would be healed. In like manner, when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, watch it now. Watch this. Because what happened on the cross? Four things. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Look at this. Never discount the power of God, the power of the cross, the power of Christ to exercise healing and conquering, and not just prevention, but the recovery and the healing from and the overcoming of all diseases. Wow. So how do you do this? You've got to stay in this condition. So comes the scripture and says, don't stop the connection. Pray without ceasing. Stay vertically connected. I wish we had more time, but let me just mention a couple things. Vertically connected implies following his instructions, listening to what he says, what is right in his own eyes, and doing what is right. And whenever we fail to follow the instructions of God, there are consequences. For example, if somebody does you bad instead of returning good for evil, which is the instruction of God, you get angry. Do you know what happens to your immune system when you get angry? Do you know what happens to your immune system when you house bitterness? It dries the bones, Scripture says. Following the instructions of God, remember, this enemy, Satan, comes to steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This includes conquering of disease, virus or other. So let me show the evidence to you. Are you ready? This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. He that dwelleth, that's that connection thing, right? In the secret place of the Most High God, he that dwelleth, it's a secret place. Nobody else knows you're doing it. You just do it. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Hallelujah. And watch this. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Look at this now. And from the noisome pestilence. Noisome. All over the world, it's the chatter. Every news part. It's all over. It's noisome pestilence. It's all noise about the viruses. Watch. Surely he shall deliver thee from the noisome pestilence. Ah. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Oh, watch this now. Thou shalt not be afraid. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night. Watch this. Nor even the arrow that flies in the daytime, because the communication of disease happens at night and day. And thou shalt not be afraid, because he comes to deliver thee from the pestilence. Now watch this. Back here. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, invisibly, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Hallelujah. See? My goodness. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. What is the wicked? It's the wicked, the one follow the words. Don't follow the instructions. Don't follow the what God says to do, the statutes. But because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, you have made it your habitation. You stay in this relationship with God. There shall, look at this now, there shall no evil befall thee. Watch this now. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. No plague. No pestilence. Ah. He'll give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, my friends, have no fear. Watch this now. Because God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And that's why the great psalmist concluded with, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I, look at this, will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is why everyone needs to get connected with God. You will follow his disease prevention instructions, and best of all, you'll be in a relationship with him whereby God works in you to destroy every power of the enemy. No matter where you may be, I encourage you to turn towards prayer in an act of faith, and together we will easily prevail. Do you know that this could be the turning point for America? For everyone listening for this moment, let me just look you as closely as I can in the eye and say, make sure you get to God. Follow his ways. And it will be well with you. I hope you'll say amen.